You're pretty cruel laughing at those kids. Hey, right now, just to let you know, we have sort of a Halloween alternative going on during service for the kids. And so we are pumping your kids full of sugar, and then we're handing them back to you. Isn't that awesome? You know, we're not real super big Halloween celebrators in our family, but I do a little research every year what the big costumes are. For boys, guess what? It's a pretty easy one. Guess? Spider-Man, right? It's always Spider-Man. Girls, this should be even easier. It's a princess, right? Procrastinators? Ghost. Ghost is always the one. Do we have a picture of that up there? No, we're just going to have to imagine the friendly ghost is up there. So we have, okay, there it is right behind me. Any of you ever dressed up as a ghost by your parents? Yeah, isn't that great? It works right up until the point they use fitted sheets. Then not so much. Came across a few of these interesting ones. Yeah, that one is not right. That one is not right. Okay, there's another one, a little interesting. The baby in the bucket. Having a hard time figuring how that one works out. This one is disgusting, the last one, so you might want to turn away. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Well, you know, we're going to continue our series today, Building Hope. We're looking at a vision initiative about what would it mean if we responded to God, not just a need that we have, but we open up our hearts in a way that becomes a lifestyle in this vision initiative. I'm excited about it. I had an opportunity to hang out with the staff, and we went down to California, and by the way, that was a great time to pray because someone who had made the reservations put us all in the back of the plane. You know what else is in the back of the plane? The bathrooms. That was not really... I got the coveted middle seat. I was just having great time with Jesus there. We did have the push-up competition, by the way. I talked about that last week. Me and seven... These guys are all younger guys than I am. And, you know, not to brag, but guess who won the push-up competition?
Rusty.
Rusty. Nah. What? I won. In my age category. yeah, I'm the only one in that category at the church. Well, you know, we talked about last week that our goal is our competition. We're pretty competitive people around here. Is not other churches that would lift up the name of Jesus Christ and help people come to know him. It's anything that would keep people from God. And so not just what we've done, we looked at that last week as a church, but I want to look at how we work together, how God has called you and me into a partnership together in hope. If you're new around here, I can't think of a better time to try to understand what God is doing in this place. I was just over at the Issaquah campus, breaking a few speeding laws getting here. And it's just amazing even there what God is doing is there's so many people coming and turning their lives over to Jesus Christ. Well, our mission is simple. Every organization has a mission statement. If you'll take your outline out of your program, we're going to look at that. We do this a couple times a year. And I think that's one of the reasons why, as a church, we do a very good job of not getting off mission. It's to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? Jesus gave two invitations to people. One is to come and see. That if you don't know God, if you're a very irreligious person, if you've maybe even been an anti-religious person, you can just come and see. Check out. Does this make sense? God says in the Bible, come let us reason together. I believe if you're searching for God and you really take a look at Christianity, that you will become a Christian. I absolutely believe that. From a philosophical, historical, archaeological perspective, I truly believe nothing makes more sense. That's not to denigrate anyone else. I'm just saying it's based in history. It's based in event. It's based on God's power in your life and mine that for 2,000 years. And so I think when we get back to that, we come and see, and it changes everything. I've seen it happen. You've emailed me this last week. People, your story of life change. Now, the good news is we don't have to have our act together or anything like that to come and see. Now, the next invitation is one that we're usually not too excited about. Jesus says, now come and die. Isn't that great? Don't you think we could really grow our church? Come to Timber Lake Church and die. Well, you know, it really is. The invitation, though, is he says, whoever loses his life for my sake will truly find it. And so if you say, I am a Christian, if you're a Christian, the Bible makes it really, really clear what that means. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. When you understand what God's done for you, that there is definitely a response. The apostle Paul talks about this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says that if we love Jesus, we are on mission with him. That we put him first, even when the Seahawks are playing at 10 a.m. Now, some of you are about ready to leave because you didn't know there's a game going on right now. So how are they doing? No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't you love Tebow, by the way? Isn't that awesome? That we put God first in our life. Now, as we look at that, that's a big call, and it can be confusing. How do we live that out? Well, it's maybe not as complex as you think. Sometimes it's difficult. We get a great example in the book of Acts. And so what I want to do for our scripture study today is look primarily at the early church in the book of Acts. Now, as you've read the Bible, if you've been around church for a while, let me tell you how to read the book of Acts. The book of Acts is really, they call it Acts of the Apostles, but it's really Acts of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit moved in the early church. It's a history, in a sense, of the early church. It's not every detail. It's just a history that makes a point. There's a living example of how God worked. It's not like some of the epistles, the letters that are more, hey, do this, and they're commands that we're to follow. It's more of an example. Now, when we look at this particular passage, I believe it's not only descriptive, but I do think that we can draw a more direct line to principles in how we live out our life in Christ. And so I'm going to do a bit of a teaching today, more than preaching as we look at this. Let's look at Acts 2:42 through 47. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and prayer. And everyone, will you circle everyone if you have a pen there? Was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers, will you circle those three words, all the believers, are you sort of getting the point here? Were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And so what's the result of this kind of community where Jesus is at the center? And the Lord added daily to their number those who were being saved. Some people say you can't expect God to work like that anymore, where there's just people all the time where God is changing their life. I think you can. I think we've seen it. Well, whose mission is this? Is it the board of the church, the pastors? No, this mission is ours. It's yours and mine. When you serve, you're participating in the mission. When you pray, you're participating in the mission. When you invite, you're participating in the mission. When you give, you're participating in the mission. It's our mission. It's sort of like the old Mission Impossible. It's your mission should you choose to accept it. And the real question I think that is comes to every single believer, if we're going to be honest and we just drop all the barriers and maybe even the excuses and the distractions, is God, am I willing to accept the mission that you have called me to, that you've laid out in Scripture, and that I can live out in the context of a local church? Now, for some of you, you might be here and say, hey, you know, dude, you're just so far talking about things and vision initiatives, that's way beyond where I'm at. And maybe for you, the whole reason God has you here is that you would understand the heart of God. That thing that you're so ashamed of and can't shake, that God can bring forgiveness and he can bring healing in a new direction. That where you feel hopeless, God wants to build hope into you. See, it's not a project. See, the project is not anything we would do. Yeah, there's parking spaces and facilities. But the purpose is people. Because as I said last week, as we talk about numbers of people, behind every number is a name, and behind every name is a story. And maybe it's your story that God wants to work in today. And that if in your decision is just a posture that's open to God and to his work. You talk to some of the people around here, and they'll tell you their story of how God has interrupted their life in a good way. And how when they thought they were giving up, they were getting in return. Well, all of this demands a response, doesn't it? How will I respond to God's work in my life? And what I want to talk about is sort of the we, not just the me. Now, as we do that, I understand you may be at a different level of participation in the we, or just even understanding. And so I think this will be quite helpful for you. Well, what do we agree to do as a church? What is it we agree to do? Number one, to do anything short of sin to reach people for Christ. What do we mean by that? We mean that we'll go ahead. Sort of like William Booth, who founded Booth. Okay, no, Booth. I can't speak sometimes. Who founded the Salvation Army. I don't know if you're familiar with that, all of that. He was roundly criticized for what he did. People said, you're sacrilegious, you're not respectful and honoring God enough, because he would reach the poorest of the poor. He would do anything. He had bands, which was crazy. And in fact, one person, he got one letter one time, and they had the return address, but the whole letter was one word, fool. And they called him a fool. Now, he also had a great sense of humor, and so he wrote back to the person, and he said, many times I get a letter where no one signs their name. This is the only time I've had a person sign their name and not write a letter. isn't that great? Just assuming what's going on. Well, obviously, we know that's been one of the most impactful ministries to the poor in the earth. Because someone was willing to stand up, a very few group of people, to make a very big difference. Literally, tens of millions of people have been affected in a way that's so profound it's hard to describe. And because it's always about God using a group of people who are willing to say, like the prophet Isaiah, God, here am I, send me. Well, that's a pretty scary thing, but it's also pretty powerful and pretty meaningful as well. The Apostle Paul wrote this, I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. To reach people that no one else is reaching, you need to do things that no one is doing. See, we're unapologetically evangelistic. Now, I know when you hear evangelism, you might think of someone on some religious station that looks sort of interesting and not like your friends. And don't let someone ruin that word for you. It's good news. Te agelion. It's a Greek word. But believe it or not, I might as well use my $50,000 worth of seminary education. So there's a Greek word for you. Anyway, so some of you are like, dude, I didn't even think you made it past high school. So I always say I am a doctor, just not the kind that can help anyone. No, when you talk about that, what is good news? It means that you share something that's going on. I posted on my Facebook. I'm thinking about buying. I don't have one of those pads yet. I was thinking. The iPad was out, and I thought, maybe I'll wait for the Surface, because I have just a couple friends who work for Microsoft, and I'm like, hey, what do you think of the Surface? Boom, 16 comments in 2 minutes. It's the best thing on earth. And if you really want to do this, and it does this, and blah, 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 and it's really such a cool thing, and you should spend a little time researching a little more. Why don't you read this article or read that? Another person, oh, no, you should do the iPad. And the other person, oh, no, that iPad person is going to hell. And, you know, there's all this conversation about it. And literally, people are like boom, man, I'm gonna get involved. Why? Because it's a little electronic pad. That's sort of cool. Nothing wrong with that. But what if there's a message that can restore your soul, that can heal your family, and that can help you step into an eternity with Jesus Christ where not death, not the devil himself can keep you from that? Is that worth sharing? We're convinced it is. And if you want to know what we're about, that's what we're about. It's not being about superior. It's actually, see, the first thing you got to do to be a Christian is to admit you're a sinner. Admit that you've blown it and you need God. In the early church, now we're in the book of Acts, and so what I want to do is get back to that. There was some discussion about who could be a Christian and who couldn't, and how someone would really have a relationship with God. They bought into, some people, more a works type of thing. People today are into karma, which is really, in a sense, a works thing. Christianity is much different, I've got to tell you. So the early church meets, and the leaders of the church say this: we believe that it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we're saved, just as they are. See, the problem is you have these people who weren't good church people coming to church. And so they were Gentiles. And in some people's thought, only Jews could be saved, that God had come among the Jewish people and his salvation was for the Jews. Now, that wouldn't be a good thing. How many of you are non-Jewish people, right? Yeah, that's most of us. How many of you are Jewish people? You come from a Jewish background. Okay, two of us. So only you and I are going to heaven. The rest of these people are going to hell under that economy. And so, but God, does that sound like God? No. So they'd come to understand the heart of God, and it changed the way they acted and reacted. I think, honestly, as a church, some of the good things that are happening here is we're just trying to discern the heart of God and live it out. We study the Bible, and we study it, by the way, that's not an end in itself. It's so we can obey it, because we know that God judges us not by our knowledge but by our obedience. And so we want to, in an imperfect way, serve the perfect God as best we can. So the problem had been, and I've used this illustration a few years ago, but I think it would be helpful. And my wife said, no one remembers what you preached on a few years ago. Isn't that encouraging? So hopefully you all remembered it. But this illustration of the ladder, maybe you've seen this before. So you see a ladder and you climb a ladder and it's great. Ladders have rungs and you can start at the bottom and take a step and then you take another step and you take another step because you don't just jump up on your roof unless you're a Spider-Man or Superman or something like that. You need a process. We're committed to a path and a process. That's why you hear next right step. No matter where you're at in your faith with God, we will help you grow in your faith with God. If you've been a Christian for 38 years, never missed a day of church in your life, do you know that there's a place where God wants to grow you? That's part of what we're about. So what can happen, though, especially as there's been more people who have been Christians now for a while longer, is we can just forget that these lower rungs are important. And so we'll do things, and we'll say, why don't you bring your Bible to church? I bring my Bible to church every week. But I've heard this, Ben, why don't you make people bring their Bibles? Well, do you know that some people don't have Bibles? Do you know that some people have Bibles that their grandma gave them in the King James Version, which is wonderful, but don't ever read it unless you speak Shakespearean English 24 hours a day? It just is not. So what happened is it just makes it a little more difficult. So not a bad thing, by the way. I'm sort of like into the Bible. But it's just, so it seems reasonable, but it just sort of, okay, there's a little bit of a barrier there. And then, well, why don't you dress? People say, it would be more reverent if you wore a suit. I wore a jacket last week. Did you see that? Yeah, you'll see it again on Christmas Eve, too. God doesn't care about what you wear, although clothes would be preferable. And actually, they are required. That's one thing we do require here. I just say that because there's a nudist colony down the street, and I'm not even kidding. So if you're from the nudist colony, I guess I just remove a rung, and I'm okay with that. Whatever it is, you need to, so-and-so's living with so-and-so, and they're doing things that are wrong, and then it is wrong. And so you got to get that act together before you can come here. And so what's the problem? It's become so difficult that most people give up. And I'm not one of these people who, like, indicts. It bugs me sometimes, pastors indict the church in America. Okay, I'm going to sort of do it. I think the problem is we make it so difficult that people give up. And this has never been God's intention. And I don't even think it's on purpose. I don't even think half the times people know what they're doing. See, for us, I think one of the reasons the church is going and growing and doing good things is we just want to make it easy and accessible for people to know God. Because my belief is that not just some, not just most, but I think the vast majority, 90-something percent of the people on the earth, even those who say they don't believe in God, they want to know God somehow in their heart. And if God's Spirit can do the work, if we just simply make it easy and accessible for people. And so what part of our call as a church is to put the rungs back in the ladder. And so that means that there's... looks like some of you aren't going to heaven. Okay, so that isn't funny because that's probably true. Anyway, so the... so I'm sorry. We'll record the next service. Anyway, so we... So the idea is to make it easy and accessible. Okay, you understand that from a spiritual perspective. Maybe you're here and you say, I'm a bottom-rung kind of person. You can belong to God as a bottom-rung kind of person. If you're a top-rung kind of person, don't get proud. Because God opposes the proud. So it means that our job... Now, see, the funny thing is we're facing an issue as a church where there are barriers that are like non-spiritual barriers that are still barriers. For example, as a church, we talked about last week how 80% full is full. Is that all it has to do is to look full. By the way, the auditorium, you look around, second week in a series, we're even talking about buildings and money. I'm surprised you're all here, but praise God, come back next week. But even today, you were 80% full at the first service. Next service will be more than that. And so all you got to do is look at that, and we know we have obviously even bigger weekends, and most of the place where we're full is in the parking lot and the kids' areas and other areas. That's really what most of what we're talking about, not even the auditorium, although we'll do a small expansion of that. We're going to open up the balcony. You didn't even know we had one. We have one up there. There's people who are watching you right now. Anyway, so the what we want to do is make it easy and accessible. See, this is where the spiritual and the practical meet one another. And that's what we're about. Okay, so how do we make this happen? Number two, we agree to leverage our resources. To leverage our resources. We do this as a church. I was just going over the budget about the money we spend to reach out to our community, and then also the resources we do in mission and partnership with other organizations as well. And a very high percentage, well over 20% this year, maybe up 25% of the money you give will go outside the church. That's a very large number for a church our size. Usually it's quite a bit less than that. And so what we do is you say, how do you do that without doing special offerings? We only do one a year. Is we teach God's truth about money, that we're supposed to be generous. We don't have to spend a lot of time every week doing it because you've responded. See, you've responded to God. And now some of you, you're saying, oh, I'm not responding. Well, get with the picture, okay? I wasn't joking. If you say, I'm not a Christian, don't worry about that. If you call yourself a Christian, God needs to be God of your money. Jesus made it real clear. I'll just let that sink in for a while. Okay, the Acts 4:34 It says, from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money to from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet. Now, how does this relate to what we're talking about? Well, it's pretty interesting. This is these are people who would have been Jews worshiping in the temple, so this would have actually been an over and above thing. We do that once a year. This is one of the things we're going to talk about. This would have been over and above their tithe that they are generously giving. Now, some of you are like, I can't even believe you're talking about money in church, and that's unspiritual, and you see Jesus as basically this homeless prophet who's just wandering through the desert in the lilies, just eating the nuts and the tree bark and all of that. Well, okay, let me challenge you a little bit biblically. Okay, Jesus, he had guys who rolled around with him. They were called, and let's see, all the good church people, they were called the apostles, right? He had a guy named Judas. What was Judas's job? Treasure. Okay, how many homeless guys do you know who are rolling around with a CFO? Not many, right? So Jesus wasn't anti-money. He was actually just good stewardship of money. And part of this is we can accomplish more together than we can alone. We can accomplish more together than we can alone. And so what I want to talk about is that I told you I would share some details. I'm not going to share all the details. We have growth. We have small group meetings and others where I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty of exactly what the facility projects are going to look like. But I want to give you a broad overview about the what's and the whys. I want you to think of this in five areas. You can throw up the slide of the building if you want to. So think of it in five areas. One is parking. One is kids' space. Or second is kids' space. Third is youth space. Fourth is opening up some auditorium space. And then fifth is some adult discipleship space. I'm glad so many of you are involved in small groups. I think we're up to about 70% of our church, I've heard now, are in small growth groups. But we also believe that we need to create a discipleship community that's available on the weekends in addition to that. We're going to still roll with growth groups, but we need this as well. And so the project, the scale and the size may change. You see the blue sign out there. That means we're already in process with the county. Keep on praying. We're 2 weeks into it and no nasty letters yet. Praise Jesus. And actually, we've been 15 months to get that blue sign up and studies, all of that. I talked about that last week. God has been really faithful in that. So we're pretty far along in this, and this is when we're inviting you to participate at this point. And so what we want to do, we've been growing at 16 to 35% a year. And as you can tell, even with new campuses and all of that, by next fall, we're out of room. So we'll have to do something because it won't be done at that point. But we need to keep on creating room for what God is doing. Now, as we do that, it means that all of us participate. All of us have different financial resources, and the project, from a minimalistic perspective, we may take a bite of the apple and do part of it, but really we want to do as much as we can, would be anywhere from about $3.5 million, which is a lot of money, but sort of the very minimum, but would be good, up to about $7.5 million, you do the build out absolutely everything. And so what does that look like from a financial perspective? Go ahead and roll that slide up there. So this is a little, we're a little, I think we may have the old slide. Let's use the, oh, there's a good slide there. All right, you can actually read it. Thought my vision was going. Anyway, so so it would mean over a period of 3 years that we would partner. You notice all those numbers? That means lots of people of varying financial giftedness being able to do that. And so, and by the way, this is at 3 years over and above what your regular giving would be. As well. So there's a few people. God has blessed you. God has given you resources. By the way, you always spend what you take in pretty much usually. But God has given, you can put the slide back up. I want to take a look at it again because it's really going to be the one time I do this. Is that you say I can be in the generous category, 700, 250, 750. Maybe you can do more than $750,000. And you say, no, I'm more the middle. More the middle would be most of us. Over a period of 3 years, I could, maybe not as much this year, but maybe in the second and third year, I could give more. Yeah, I don't know what that time frame looks like. And you say, you know, I could only give a few hundred dollars a year. You know, maybe give up Starbucks. Well, let's not get crazy. but you know, it's something honestly you know, something that would probably be well south of your cable bill. I mean, you know, but it would just be something. So it's all of us working together. It really is. So you hear numbers like $3.5 million, $7.5 million. Do those seem like big numbers to you? If they don't, I want to invite you over to dinner at my house today. No, I'm not kidding at all. You can come over. As I said, I cannot be bought, but I can be rented. I know this is Timberlake. For you, faithfulness, it may not seem like much, but it seems like a lot to God. You say, you know, maybe it's $500 a year, and that would mean a lot. Or maybe to you, faithfulness is saying, no, for me to stretch and maybe go a little bit beyond even what I'm comfortable with, that would be something else. See, it's all of us together doing God's work. And don't get funny just because we're talking about money. It's one of those things where I want you to respond like I hope I've taught you for 4 years. Listen to the Holy Spirit, surrender, and obey. So that's what that would look like. We see this example given in the early church. All the believers were one in heart and mind. But I don't think I've ever heard it so silent in here. That's awesome. Okay, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. It is really the example of the early church. And again, as we've just talked about numbers, don't focus on numbers, focus on an attitude of the heart. It's consumer versus contributor. Now, if you're here and you're just checking out God, you're checking out Jesus, please be a consumer. There are people who have given and sacrificed, and don't feel guilty about it. They wanted to because you matter that much to God. And you say, why would someone do so much? Because you matter that much to God. But if I call myself a follower of Christ, there is only one road, and that is to be a contributor. And you say, well, is that about money? It's way more than about money. It's about that I surrender every aspect of my life, and in it I really find it. And I find what Jesus said is true when he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, we agree, number four, we to make a difference. When we say yes to God, we say yes to people because God's mission is people. And we see this in Acts 4:33. We see the movement of God's Holy Spirit. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. Here's the truth. Sometimes we say, you know, given who I am and what I've done and what my resources are, can I make that big of a difference for God? I love what Helen Keller said. Quote, I am one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I still can do something. I will not refuse to do the something I can do. Just a great way to live. Just saying, you know, what I can do, I will do. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. If you leave here today and you think that this vision initiative is solely about a building, you have not understood what I've been talking about. Our mission is people. A building is a tool. And if you could read my email inbox, one of the ones was from a few months ago, and she said, it was so transformational when you said, God hates divorce. He doesn't hate divorced people. And someone was describing how they're beginning to believe. Story after story. And please know, that's what this is about. That's what we're about. We heard a great story last week. We've heard so many this fall. And we honestly have had so many people come and share. We're going to wrap a few into today as we move to close the service. A few people's story who've come to trust Jesus and put him front and center in their lives. Take a look at this.
I was never a believer in the past. You know, it's just when I die, it's my time to die, and I figure out whatever happens then.
I didn't want to go here because, you know, I'm not really a very, you know, church person, you know. Yeah, you know, my mom kept on telling me to come here until I just, you know, got to the point where, you know what, Mom, yeah, stop, and I'll be here.
I didn't believe in God, you know, and I started not believing in God, or kind of like rejecting God. You know, I wasn't happy, and I felt uncontent. I felt like I needed to do something drastic to change my life. You know, it was not where I should be. You know, I don't know. I felt, you know, unresolved.
But, you know, but then started, you know, going here to Timberlake Church. I was, you know, surrounded by a lot of people, and, you know, and then I started seeing that, you know what, maybe there is a God, you know? Because, I mean, look at these people. They're really nice, and they're really committed to him, and they're really passionate about him, and maybe, you know what, maybe he's true, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I started following Jesus when, after the service, you know, at Timberlake, you know, everything kind of started to make sense. Like, you know, like I said, his Ben speaking made sense to me. I remember thinking, you know, like, I want to try this, like, you know, I want to accept you into my life. And I remember, you know, saying, like, that, you know, like, come into my life, like, transform my life, you know, and make this change in my life, you know.
And I wanted to know what it feels like to actually believe in something and to live the life that God wants me to live it. Following Christ, I feel, is just following something I believe in.
In every moment where you have fears and, you know, you don't know what to do, you know, it's an opportunity for trust. It's an opportunity for you to kind of accept him and, you know, to trust him, right? I mean, I feel like that's what it is. I feel like it's like believing in him is one thing, but like, I think it's mostly for me, it's like the trust, you know, trusting in him, right?
But following Christ made me feel that I'm with someone, that I'm not alone in this world, you know, that there's always someone who can help me, you know, in good times or bad times.
So that's what it's about. I just want to remind you every single week what God is about, what we're about. Behind every number is a name, behind every name is a story, and God is doing his good work because of your faithfulness. And I just want to say, way to go. And for some, and I know this happens every week, and you're like, you know, I'm not on that, and I'm more like them. And you know, it's no accident that God brought you here today, that God will enter your story in your life if you'll allow him access. And so what I want to do is invite you into prayer, that you would just maybe make that decision and that step. If you could pray with me, with everyone's eyes closed and head bowed, and even as the band comes up on stage, if we could do that to give people a sense of privacy in a public place. And if you say, you know, I want to know God like you talk about him, Ben, and like those guys talked about him, but I'm just not sure what to do. The Bible says it's an invitation. God has responded. God has invited us into relationship with him. And our only job is response. And if that's you, I invite you to pray with me. I'm going to pray out loud. You pray silently because I don't want to call you out or embarrass you. But you'd say something like this: God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you have made a way for me when you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sin so I could be forgiven. And I need that forgiveness. And God, I invite you into my life. Lord, that you would be the leader and that I would follow. I give you my yes today. And God, give me a heart that wants to say yes to you each and every day. And as best as I know how, I'm going to follow you. And the Bible says when we've responded to God, there are a couple things that are true. That His Spirit is with you right now. That there's that supernatural presence of God, the supernatural in our natural world, where He will be with you every step of the way. And that He's also prepared a place for you in heaven. That when this life is over, it's not the end of life, but we step into life with Him. And that God's going to bring people around you who are going to help you learn what that means. And we want to be part of that as well. And so part of that is you go in public and you tell them someone. And here's how we do this at Timberlake, just to let you do that with everyone else's eyes closed and head bowed. And if you say, Ben, I prayed that prayer to invite Jesus into my life today. Would you let me be your public, the first to know, and simply indicate that by letting your eyes meet mine. I'm going to look to my right and your left. It's great. Anyone else on this side? Okay. All right. And then in the center section too, you'd say, you know, I invited Christ into my life, and that's why, okay, that's great. That's why you're looking. Okay. All right. All right. And in my left as well. That's great. It's awesome. God, I just thank you for so many of my friends who are responding to you. And God, help us to respond in every way. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.